of Isaiah in chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41. In some ways, this is a continuation of last week's sermon. In receiving the blessings of the Lord in our life, because this sermon is based on choosing to trust. I just want to read verses 10 through 13, but the main text will be verse number 10. But Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10 through 13. The Bible says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." Father, again, we do ask for your blessing upon our time. We ask that you would bless your word. You promised it would never return void, and we truly do want your word to be the lamp unto our feet, the light unto our path. We truly believe it is the sword of the Spirit. It's quick, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Father, your word is alive. Lord, it will show us things in our life that are not right, things that are a hindrance to our relationship, to our walk with you. But Lord, it will show us the things that will benefit us, things that will bring us blessings from your hand into our life. And we do ask, Father, that you would bless our time and bless this hour. We truly do, Father, want you to speak to our hearts. We want you to guide us, convict us, challenge us, encourage us. Everything that we need, Father, we want you, Lord, to give us what we need, because we know that you do it with love, you do it with sincerity and mercy and grace, and we thank you for it. Please bless the children in junior church, Lord. Open up their hearts and minds to understand the Bible lesson. We ask the word of God would take root in their hearts as well, bringing forth much fruit in their life, fruit of salvation, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of having a joyous walk with Christ. And Father, we ask that you would do that with us as well. Father, we truly do want to walk away with something you have given us that we can meditate upon, something that will help us in the week that we're entering into, something that would just encourage us to remain faithful, and even as the last song, Lord, to be found watching, Lord, praying and watching and occupying when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ returns to gather us to be with him. We ask it all in his precious name. Amen. Again, trusting or choosing to trust. We all make choices in life. Some choices are good choices. Some choices are bad. Some choices we regret. Some choices we're thankful that we made. But one choice that we all desperately and need to continually to make is to trust the Lord. To trust the Lord each and every day in our life. And as even in the previous chapter, chapter 40, even choosing not just to trust, but choosing to wait on the Lord. Because the last verse in chapter 40 says this, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." God promises some blessings with us waiting on him, that our strength will be renewed. Sometimes it's not the physical, but it's the inner strength. It's the inner man that's renewed day by day. Having that resolve to keep trusting the Lord, even though someone's going through cancer, even though someone is having to go through chemotherapy, as you know, Dylan had to for a couple of years, and he just was resolved in his spirit that he was going to have a good attitude, because the Bible does say the spirit of a man, help me out, Sandra, shall sustain his infirmities. You know what? It really does matter what we think. If I think, you know, my life is doomed, then guess what? My life's going to be doomed. because that's what I think and that's how I respond to life every day. But if I respond to life every day with, you know what, the Lord's with me, the Lord's going to help me, he's my rock, he's my staff, I mean, he's my deliverer, he's my comforter, he's got something for me today, and we walk with the attitude of, you know what, God wants to do something in my life today, then guess what? God's going to do something because we're expecting it. Because, you know, if someone just expects doom all the time, well, that's what they get because that's what they're looking for, all right? That's what they are expecting. That's what they're focused on. Good and bad things happen every day in your life, but which are we more focused on? Because as we choose to trust God each and every day more and more in our life, then we start to choose, you know what, to wait on the Lord. That, you know what, God truly does have the answer for today. God truly does have what I need for today. And God has already told me some things in his word, and he's not a man that he should lie. Every single one of God's promises throughout scripture is good for you and for me today. I'll be honest, some of the promises are for Israel, but the Bible does still tell us that all scripture is given by inspiration of God is profitable, right? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly perfect, right? Perfect in Christ, mature in Christ, all right? But again, we have to choose to wait on the Lord, and with choosing to wait on the Lord should come choosing to trust. Not just when everything's going good, but even during the uncertainties. There's five areas I want us to think about as Jesus, as God mentions in verse number 10. Now, God promises some blessings in this verse. Again, last week we talked about having the blessings of God upon our life, and we can't have the blessing of God upon our life if we don't believe what God says, right? Again, there's been people in your life, you've either trusted what they told you, or you didn't trust them, or it was like water off a duck's back, you know, whatever analogy, whatever thing you want to use. There are some people you trust, some people you don't, but God should be one that we always trust because his word is true. And God wants to bless us through some of these promises that he mentions in verse number 10. He verse off, he says, fear thou not. Just those three simple words, fear thou not. You know, as a good parent, you know, when your kids get scared, the other night, I forget what night it was that we had the thunderstorm, and I was shocked. I was like, wow, actually a thunderstorm. I mean, you can actually hear the thunder, and it actually rattled the house. It was like, this is great, because that's what I grew up with down in Mississippi. When it thundered, you knew it thundered, because your body would even rattle a little bit. And I love thunderstorms. I don't like the destruction they bring, but I love just the rain and just, you know, the power of God. God created the thunderstorm. But I had some girls come to the room because it had flashed lightning and thundered, and they came and said, it's okay, you don't have to be scared. All right, God created it, you're fine, go back to bed. And they went back to bed, all right? There's no need to be afraid of sudden, you know, sudden fear. The Bible tells us don't be afraid of sudden fear, right? You know, you're just sitting there, all of a sudden, you know, something slams, something drops, right? You know, and we sometimes what? We jump, right? But God says, you know, don't be afraid of sudden fear, all right? All throughout the Bible, God's people would have somebody, Mary. Mary would be told by Gabriel, fear not. Joseph would be told, fear not. The disciples will be told by Christ, fear not. Fear thou not. What is it in your life that maybe is trying to grip you with fear? Financial difficulty, health difficulty, family matters, whatever. There's things that we face that we are fearful of. And sometimes we wouldn't even use the word, well, I'm not afraid, I'm just concerned. Well, okay. But how much of that concern are we casting upon Christ, who cares for us and wants to carry the load, doesn't want us to be troubled? Again, he says, fear thou not, because God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. He's given us of his Holy Spirit. There's nothing we need to fear. And here are the reasons why we do not need to fear anything we face in our life, because just given the answer straight off the bat, you have Christ in your life. You have the one in your life who conquered the world, and our faith in Christ helps us to be overcomers of the world. But he says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. There is a promise from God to you that he is with you, and because he's with you, there are blessings with it. God's presence. If God's presence is with you, then what do we need to fear? Nothing. Think about it. I just remember being a kid and, you know, a child that is next to their parents or even in their parents' arms, they don't fear anything. They don't fear anything. Anytime I got afraid, I'd get closer to my dad as a little boy or closer to my mom. Whoever was the nearest, I'd get close to them and I would feel safe because I knew they would protect me. So you think about when God says, fear thou not, I am with thee, God never leaves us nor forsakes us, right? He's always there. So God says, we do not need to fear, I am with you. In Psalm 34, verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, that fear God, and delivereth them. Remember, God has a hedge of protection around us, and it's him. He's our hedge of protection. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. In Hebrews 13, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Right? And I quote that often, and you know that. You know that God said he'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, because you realize in order for God to leave you, he'd have to remove his spirit from you. The Holy Spirit of God is always with you. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus said it was expedient for him to depart, for him to go away, that the Comforter could come. And the Comforter would lead us into all truth. The Comforter would comfort us. The Comforter would remind us of the things that God has told us through his word, would help us to keep our eyes on the author and finisher of our faith. The Holy Spirit would be the one to tap us on the shoulder often and say, hey, look up, look unto the hills, from whence cometh your help. Your help cometh from the Lord. Remember, if he died for you, he is alive that you may have life and have it more abundantly. God is here with you. The Holy Spirit reminds us that. But verse 6, the verse that comes after, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And why is it I need to remember that? So I can do what verse 6 says of Hebrews 13. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Not that I hope he's my helper, or, you know, he might be my helper. No, boldly say, the Lord is my helper. That means you're confident. Well, I know God's not going to leave me nor forsake me. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken yet begging bread. I know my God is with me. He's given me of his Holy Spirit. Christ is greater in me than he that's in the world. And he wants me to be reminded. He wants me to remind myself, you know, of the promises of God, so that I will remind myself of the blessings of God. Because David, there was a certain time in David's life where he sat down and had to encourage himself in the Lord. The Bible says he had to encourage himself in the Lord. The city Ziklag that he was given by the king of Gath was burnt. All the families were taken. It's just him and the men. The men were frustrated. They were tired. They were mad. They were angry, and they were taking it all out on David. They were speaking of stoning him, and the Bible says he sat down and encouraged himself in the Lord. I don't know what he was thinking. Maybe thinking about one of the songs he had already written to the Lord. Maybe thinking about, Lord, you haven't forsaken me now, and Lord, will you help me? But something we can encourage ourselves in is, you know what? I know that he said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. So you know what? I'm going to boldly come before his throne as his child, as his daughter, as his son, and just have the confidence he already knows what I need, and he's going to meet that need. But I want to say, Lord, you're my helper. Man can't help me the way that you can. Now, God uses people to help us at different times, But our focus has to be, it's God. God's the one that delivers. God's the one that provides. God's the one that protects. And he uses different means to do that. But the focus has to be, you know what? I don't have to fear anything because my God is with me. My God is guiding me. And I can boldly say the Lord is my helper. And one of the best teachers of reminding us that God is our helper is looking back on past experiences. Looking back, has God ever failed you? Now, somebody might try to say, well, yeah, because he didn't come through with this. Well, then Paul would have to say God failed him when Paul prayed three times for the thorn in the flesh to be removed, and Jesus said, no, oh, man, Jesus failed me because I asked believing, and the thorn wasn't removed. No. Because what did Jesus do for Paul? You know what? I'm going to let you keep the thorn, but my strength is going to help you endure life with that thorn. That thorn is going to remind you that, you know what? I'm with you. I haven't forsaken you. I just know what's best for you, and you're going to keep that thorn, but you're going to rely upon my strength if you want victory, if you want to be sustained every day with that thorn. You're going to have to rely upon my strength. And that's why Paul boldly said, I mean, listen, I know Hebrews 13, verse 6 says that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Those aren't the only words we can use. Paul said, I'd rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon my life, right? You don't specifically have to say, the Lord is my helper. You should at least be reminded the Lord's your helper, but to even say, you know what? I know God's not going to leave me because I'm one of his children. I know he's going to give me the strength to endure this. I know he's going to give me the wisdom to know how to overcome this, all right? But again, do you have the boldness? Do you have the confidence that you can come before God knowing that God is on your side, that God is waiting for you to come to him so that he can help you the way he knows we need to be helped. The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me, right? Not fearing what man shall do unto me, whether it's a tax collector, whether it's a creditor, no matter what it is, who it is, no matter who's after you, you're not afraid because you know what? God's on my side. I haven't done anything wrong. I'm living for the Lord, and I trust that God is with me. Fear thou not, for I am with you. Never forget God is with you. He gave you and me of his Spirit, and because he's with us, because we have his Spirit, we can go on to even believe when he says, I am thy God. I am thy God. Now, you proclaim God is your God. You proclaim Christ is your Savior. It's a wonderful thing that God says, I'm thy God. God actually chose you. God actually thinks of you. He has thoughts of peace towards you. Not thoughts of evilness. He has thoughts of peace towards you. He knows you by your name. He does care how you feel. Because in the garden where the tomb was, Mary is weeping uncontrollably. Because the tomb is empty. She doesn't know what happened to the body of Christ. She knows it was there. She watched Joseph of Arimathea. She watched Nicodemus put the body of Christ into the tomb, roll the stone in front of the opening of the tomb. She knows the body was there. It's not that she went to the wrong tomb. She knows what tomb it is, and she's weeping because she doesn't know where the body of Christ is. And she asks the man that she assumes the gardener, if you've taken his body anywhere, tell me so I can go take it. I'm glad that God knows your name. Because when Mary spoke, she heard her name spoken. When that supposed gardener said, Mary, Mary. That was it. Jesus didn't say it is I. He just said Mary. And she responds, Rabboni. Because she knew the voice. Do you know the voice of God? Do you hear his voice every day talking to you? I'm glad that he does know my name. You know what it's like to try to remember somebody's name, and then when you can't, you just, you know, hey, how's it going? Good to see you again. And you're thinking to yourself, what is their name? What is their name? Oh, I know an evangelist like that. An evangelist, it's brother and sister. Everybody's brother and sister. Hey, brother, how's it going? Hey, sister, how's it going? Because you can't remember anybody's name, but you're safe, right? Brothers and sisters in Christ, right? But again, God says, for I am thy God. Fear not, for I am thy God. You realize that if God is our God, then we have a very powerful God. What is it that he cannot do? Who is it that he cannot protect us from? What situation is it that he cannot change? Remember, the Bible says the king, the heart of a king is in the hand of God. He turneth whithersoever he will as the rivers of water. God can do anything, and he is our God. David said in Psalm 27, the Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Right? If God is the light and salvation of my life, and he's the strength of my life, then again, there's nothing I need to fear. My God shall supply all of your need, whatever it is, right? According to his riches in Christ Jesus. I am thy God. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? David pens these words because he believes them. Now, if there's something we don't believe, we're not going to repeat it. We're not going to go around telling people on something we don't believe, right? But something we believe, we're going to promote that. We're going to tell people about that. In John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Do you believe that? You believe that you're in the hand of the Father and the hand of Christ, and no one can pluck you out of that hand? Do you believe that he gives unto you eternal life, as he says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, never losing the gift of salvation? But he also, again, verse 27, he says, my sheep hear my voice. That's why you and I have to continue spending quality time with the Lord. In the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. The less time I spend with God in Bible reading and prayer, the less I'm going to hear his voice. The less I'm going to recognize his voice. Doesn't mean I've lost my salvation. That's a gift from God. But in order for me to continue being able to hear God's voice very clearly, I have to stay in the relationship with him, walking with him, reading the Bible, praying, right? Because one of the greatest blessings that he can give anybody is himself. Now, we love the blessings of, you know, of financial blessings and, you know, relationship blessings. I mean, we just love blessings. We love our life to be blessed. But the greatest blessing is being able to hear the voice of God clearly. Clearly. To be directed by God on a daily basis. To have that communion with him. To have that fellowship with him on a daily basis. Again, God says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I love the fact that he is a personal God. He's a personal God. He has eyes that he can see. He has ears that he can hear. He has a mouth that he can speak to us. An arm that's not too short that he cannot save. I mean, he is a personal God involved in your life and my life. Yet Jesus says he's a spirit. And those that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. But yet, He cares deeply about each and every one of us. Every detail of your life, He cares about. I can't say that. I can't say I care about every detail of somebody's life. But He can, because He has that ultimate love for you. He has that ultimate care for you. And He wants us to be reminded, I am with thee, I am thy God, and because I am thy God, He goes on to say, I will strengthen thee. I will strengthen thee. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, speaking of the armor of God, it starts off, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. God wants to be our strength every day, our mental strength, our spiritual strength, right? Again, like I said earlier, go to Philippians chapter 4. Like I said earlier, you know, we can curse our day or we can bless our day with the words, with our own thinking, right? If I wake up every morning, and there was a time in my life, I did wake up in the mornings cursing my day because it's like, man, I want to go back to that place, right? The job or whatever, you know, whatever it is that we don't, you know, we're not thrilled about going to or doing, right? But I'm still reminded, do everything heartily as unto the Lord. Because you know what? If the focus is the Lord, it does help us to do the things that we don't want to do. And there are things in our life that we don't want to face, we don't want to have to deal with, but we have to. In Philippians, Philippians chapter 4, and look at verse number 8. Actually, look at verse 7 first. Verse number 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There's a promise and a blessing from the Lord. Here's the promise. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, right? God promises His peace, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. God tells us that we should be thinking positively. We should be thinking positive. All right. Yes, I wish I could pull out my wallet and say, oh, you fat wallet full of money. But you know what I can think positive on? My God truly does own the cattle on 1,000 hills, and whatever I need, He'll provide. He'll provide according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But it truly does matter what I think, because there is nothing that matches up to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, except God's word and He Himself. Jesus Christ matches perfectly Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. So guess what? When you go back to Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10, we truly can have the right thinking that, you know what, my God is everything I need in order for my life to be successful, in order for my life to be blessed, in order for my everything about my life to be blessed. But He says, I will strengthen thee, truly trusting that God will give us the strength each and every day. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. If I don't think God can help me, I'm not going to cry out to Him. I'm not going to go to His word and seek answers. I'm not going to pour out my problems to the Lord. I'm not going to seek God with all of my heart if I truly do not believe that God can help me. And there are people like that, that really don't believe God doesn't care. If we accepted Christ by faith, if we trusted God's plan of salvation and we cried out to the Lord and we asked Christ to be our Savior, then why would we ever stop asking God for help in our life? Why would we ever stop believing that God is on our side, that God is my God? God didn't just die for the sins of the world. Christ didn't just die for the sins of the world. He rose victoriously over the grave to prove that He is the giver of life. And He said, I come to give life and to give it more abundantly. And God says specifically, and again, he's speaking, you know, in the book of Isaiah, God is speaking to his people who keep wavering. They follow God for a little bit, and then they turn their backs. They follow other idols. And, well, by this time with Isaiah, they have just, they've stopped following God. They've stopped waving back and forth. They just decide, you know what, we're just going to keep following false gods because the false gods have done nothing for us, but at least we can prop them up. At least we can polish them. At least we can carry them where we want. We can put them on what shelf we want them to be on. So I can't control God. People like to be in control. Some things we're not in control of. You're not in control of when you die. You're not in control of when a child is born. You're not in control of whether or not you get cancer or not. Now, we do things to try to keep ourselves healthy, but you understand, we're truly not in control of our life. But the things that we can control, like what I do, then I'm going to try to control what I do. But God says, surrender it all to me. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee, he says. I will help thee. Psalm 121, very quickly. Psalm 121, the Bible says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. In verse 7, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Aren't you glad you don't have to worry about your soul right now? Hopefully you've already trusted Christ as your Savior and you know where you're going to spend eternity, right? And he has sealed you with his Spirit, right? Because he says, he shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out, thy coming in, from this time forth and even for evermore. I will help thee. Again, if I believe someone's going to help me, then I'm going to go to them whenever I need help. Right? God wants to be the one that we always go to. He wants to be the first one that we go to. If we're honest, often he's not the first one we go to. He's the second one or the third one, or when everything else has failed, you know, then we're forced to pray and, Lord, I need help, right? But God wants to be the first one that we rely upon because he is with us. He is our God. And he will help us because he's promised to always help us because he's the one that cared enough to lift us out, as the Bible says, out of the dunghill and set our feet upon a rock and established our going. He's the one that deeply cares, that he's the one that formed us in the womb, in our mother's womb. He's the one that fashioned us together. He's the one that has allowed us to have the personality that we have, right? He's the one that has helped us through our life every step of the way, even when we did not recognize it. As an older man now, and I've been recognizing it for a while, but just being older, I look back and I think, man, I don't know why, God, you even thought about protecting me when I was being so dumb. You know, just being a dumb teenager, driving stupidly and hanging out the window. I mean, I saw some kid the other day, my wife and I did. She must have been 3 or 4, I don't know, hanging out the window. Now, I did that when I was a kid. Thought it was cool, you know, hanging out the window and all this stuff. It was like, don't be doing that, right? I can just look back and see, man, I must have really kept God busy protecting me, right? And maybe you've been able to look back too and go, wow, I kept God busy. I kept the angels busy. Because God has given his angels charge over us. You do. You have an angel watching over you, protecting you, because God has put a hedge of protection around each of his children. But again, God promises, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God promises you all of this, that he is your God, that he is with thee, he'll strengthen thee, he'll help thee, and he will uphold thee. I mean, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. I forget what that verse is, that song that we've sung for the beginning of Sunday school sometimes. Oh, what is it? Not the steps of a good man, but say it again.
Micah 6:8.
Oh, there's another one I'm thinking of. But Micah 6:8, I do like Micah 6:8. Micah 6:8 says, "He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with thy God." Micah 6:8. Sometimes I'll sing that to myself. No, it's though he fall. Yeah. Though he fall, because you know we fall. Sometimes we fall. What you know, as a you know, but he's the one that holds us up. Because all the parents in here, you know, at some point you helped your child to learn how to walk. Right? I remember helping each of my children learn how to walk. And it's an exciting day to see them, you know, taking their first steps, and then you know, you're walking with them, and eventually you're trying to let go so they can kind of walk on their own, right? And if they fall down, what does the parent do? Any loving parent goes and picks them up, right, and helps them. You think about the Lord. He upholds us. He's right there. Even Paul talked about the same thing. You know, David said, "I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor yet begging bread." Paul talked about not being forsaken by the Lord, that when they were cast down, they weren't utterly forgotten because God was on their side. So Psalm 145 verse 14 says, "The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down." God is the one that upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. Again, when you think about who God is, God's the one that makes these statements. I can say that God's my deliverer, God's my high tower, God's my savior, God is my buckler. But the fact that God's the one speaking in verse 10 and says, "I am thy God. I am thy help. I am thy strength. I am the one that holds you up." And verse 13, Isaiah 41:13, ending with this, he says, "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee." I mean, just the blessing of the Lord, but it really does. It hinges on us. It hinges on whether or not we believe what God says. That's why it's important that we continue reading our Bible, because God does speak. And when God speaks, "I am with thee." I mean, put your name there. I mean, God's saying, "I'm with thee, Troy. Troy, I am your help. Troy, I am your strength. Troy, I am going to hold you up." Because there's just times in life where we fall, we trip. But God's right there to help us to keep going. So this morning, I just want us to be reminded and just think more positive than negative. My God is my God. He's my strength. He's my rock. He's my high tower. He cares deeply for me. I don't care what anyone else says. I don't care what any other family members say. I don't care what any friends say, co-workers. I don't care what the president says. I don't care what, you know, anybody says. God is my God. Jesus Christ is my rock. And he's the one I'm going to rely upon every day. He's the one I'm going to walk with. He's the one, Lord, help me to keep hearing your voice. Because if there ever is a moment in our life where we don't hear the voice of God, we're in trouble. If you don't personally hear God speaking to you, then there's trouble. Because God speaks to his children. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." And God wants us to hear his voice because he wants us to be comforted with that powerful, calm loving, gracious voice, right? As he would stand up and say, "Peace be still," to a raging storm, right? As he would just, his presence would cause a man demon-possessed to be put in his right mind, clothed, and sitting at the feet of Jesus. I mean, I want the power of Christ to continue transforming me, continue transforming us into his image, because we were predestinated by God to be conformed into the image of Christ, to be surrendered to his will. And his will is for us to let him keep working in our life, keep showing himself mighty, right? "Call unto me, I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." God is a personal God that wants you and me to keep recognizing his greatness, keep calling upon him, keep relying upon him, keep trusting him, keep seeking after him with all your heart.